church say amen this evening? Amen. Stand to our feet. Amen. Let's sing a chorus of that song. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. He lives. All fear is gone. Because I gracious God, we just thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity, Lord, to be before you once again, Lord, to come into this place, Lord God, of fellowship, Lord God, to fellowship with you, Lord God. Lord God, we just ask, Lord God, that you have complete control, Lord God. Oh God, at this moment, Lord God, we commit everything into your hands, oh Lord God. Lord God, speak to the hearts, oh Father God, that are gathered here, Lord God. We pray for those who may be traveling the highways, oh Lord God. Give them traveling mercy, oh Lord God. Lord, we commit everything into your hands, Lord God, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. I won't be before you long. Just a little thought of just want to greet you. The pastor asked me to send his greetings. Said he misses you all and he looking forward to being together Sunday. Amen. Pray for those who that have been absent. Amen. From our midst. Amen. The devil is angry. And the devil is fighting. We serve a real God. We also have a real enemy. And man, you look around and you see different things going on, and just keep different ones in your prayers. Man, because I tell you what, church, we're living in a time, amen, where we cannot allow the world to dictate what we do. We can't allow the things of the world to dictate where our love is and where our joy is. We have to, amen, be hungry for the things of God. Amen. And we're going to get into a little bit. If we can turn to our Bibles there in Hebrews, the 7th chapter. We've been working in that, and I do things a little different. Pastor has a real good teaching ability. You know, he put everything on the slideshow and point everything out, and I don't know, that's really good. It's visual, you know what I mean? It's way, but I don't have quite have that ability down yet, so I just bring it how I bring it. Amen. It was just beautiful the way the Lord just kind of laid this upon my heart. I wasn't really looking for it. Just going about my daily task and just enjoyed last week. Me and the wife got a chance to get away. And the Lord just kind of led me to a number of messages that I was listening to. And I just kept listening to this message over and over and over, not knowing why. Then I went back and I began to study for this evening. And as I read into, I said, well, Lord, see how he had been preparing all the time, because everything just sort of fell into place. So I trust that from the depths of my heart that I'm able to relay what he placed on my heart. Amen. I don't have a whole lot of notes and things like that, you know. But we're going to just kind of walk through the Bible a little bit and just kind of open up our understanding of the scripture just a little bit on these things, and enlighten us and give us a little strength for the journey. Amen. Amen. We're going to read from Hebrews, seventh chapter. We notice the pastor been working in this here for the past couple of weeks. Amen. But let's see where we go here. It says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor ending of life, but was made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now, we know who that was. God created a body. Amen. Now, consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. That is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he who descent is not counted from them receiveth tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promise. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receiveth tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may say so, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? I'm going to read that again. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, for what further need was there that another priest should raise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood
being changed there is made of necessity to change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord spring up out of Judah, the tribe of Judah. Of the tribe, Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. And it is yet for more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. I want to concentrate there on the 15th verse. And it is yet for more evident, far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. Amen. Let's pray real quick. Lord, Heavenly Father, we read these scriptures, oh Lord God. May you just give them life, Lord God, that would open our understanding, oh Father God, and deepen our revelation, oh Father God, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, we see here, I want to bring attention to that word, the similitude. And similitude, in the dictionary, if we break that word down, it means a visible likeness. It means, one definition is a visible likeness, and another, it may say an imaginative comparison. And another, it may say a point of comparison, okay? But I like to just stick with a visible likeness, okay? So we see that we go back here to assimilate. Assimilate is the verb of similitude. That means something that is becoming like something else. Amen. So to come into the likeness of another being or spirit, should I say. Now, we see that before the foundation of the world here, that there was a battle in heaven. Am I right? There was a battle going on. There was one who was not named at that time Lucifer, but he was son of the morning. Amen. And iniquity had entered into his heart, and he wanted to be like the Most High God. So there the battle began in heaven. And when he was cast down there, the Bible tells us in Isaiah that he had a goal and he had a purpose. His goal and his purpose was to be worshipped like the Most High. Amen. God, in the beginning, he created these people to worship him. I mean, he was God. And he set things up in the order that he saw things in his mind to play out so that he can display all of his attributes of who he is. Am I right? Amen. So on the other hand, now it talks about how at that time, now Lucifer, that Satan, was a very convincing fellow. He was able to convince a third of the angels. A third of the angels to follow him. Now imagine that, my brothers and sisters. You have an angel in heaven that is there and they're worshiping the Almighty God. And Lucifer is so slick that he can deceive angels to leave heaven. So we're dealing with a shrewd character here. We're dealing with an individual who wasn't born yesterday. Amen. He's the most beautiful angel. He got all kind of tools in his chest. He was a great musician. There was nothing ugly about him. Amen. He was the anointed cherubim. Okay. So now we understand that the Bible says, in the beginning he created the heavens and the earth. Now the prophet of God said you must understand your semicolons. He said you must understand your semicolons because see, when you read that and it stops. Now we have no idea how long of a space of time from one event to the other. Okay? So, but we know, okay, he did this and then he did this. But in between, there's a space of time. We don't know how long that was. We don't know how long it was. But we know that Moses, a prophet, was able to foresee and look back in time to be able to write those first four books of the Bible. Moses wasn't there, but he was able to write those first four books of the Bible. Okay, so some would say, Moses was a special prophet because he was the first prophet. And I would contend to say if the first prophet was a special prophet, then the last prophet should be a special prophet. Just makes sense. Amen. Because one was able to look back and see from the beginning and write things beginning. And this last one, his job is to come and what? Tie up all of the loose ends and look into the future and tell you and send everything on, close everything up. We got one who opened it up. And that last prophet going, okay, we're going to tie this up in a nice little bow so you can get out of here. Amen. Now we see that those angels come down. They had assimilated, took on the likeness of Lucifer. Now we see that Lucifer came down and there in the Bible, there in the beginning, he created the heaven and the earth, and then he created, all of these things. He created the herb, yield, and grass and everything, and he created all of the animals, and he created all of these things. He created the animals, and the last thing he created was man. Now, when he created the animals, he created the male monkey, and then he created the female monkey. He created the male giraffe and then the female giraffe. He created all of these things. He created the two. So now, Satan was already cast down to earth. So he's just watching. He say, my, he's doing all of these things. I see what he's doing, but I can't endure that. Now, remember, he created the serpent as well. He created the serpent, and this serpent was not a snake at the time. He was not something that slithered along. He was a beast. The Bible called him a beast that walked upright on 2 feet. Am I right? Walked upright through the garden. Now, he gave Adam dominion over everything. He told him to name it. So I'm guessing that Adam must have came to the serpent and said, hello, I'm going to call you the beast. I don't think his name went to serpent until after he was cursed. Okay, Mr. Serpent, how you doing? Da 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 da. You got your place, and he went all through the Bible. He was just like any other animal. Only difference is he had a place for a soul, but he didn't have a soul. He was the closest thing to man. He was the closest thing to man. Okay, all upright and everything. He was obviously able to communicate. Okay, we see now that sometimes some animals have some form of being able to communicate. I can tell my dog to do certain things and he'll do it. He can't talk back, but it seems like he can get my attention. Every now and then my dog want to be fed, he know at a certain time he go out and start moving that bowl around. And my wife said, your dog talking to you? I said, yeah, I'm going to go feed him. So they have some ability. Okay. So, but this serpent was the closest thing to mankind. So, this devil sit back watching and he's saying, well, how can I assimilate into this culture? Because, see, he was just a being, a spirit. He had no way to get anybody. But his plan, like I said, was to be worshipped like the Most High. So he wanted a people to worship him. Now, at the time, he didn't have that. But that was his goal and his plan all the time, that he could get a people to worship him. So he sat back and watched, and he said, now I noticed that in there made the female giraffe and the male giraffe and the male animal and the monkey and the female dog and the male dog and that. But I noticed when he got the man, he did something a little bit different. He just made one. Well, what's happening here? Then all of a sudden he put that one to sleep, and he took from the rib of Adam and he made a female body. He took the feminine spirit from Adam and gave it to the female. So he began to look at this thing and he say, wow, I might have something here. Because anything, anytime that you know that Satan notices God giving a certain thing just a little more attention, oh, he pays very close attention to that. He pays very close attention to you, because he say, well, I had this fella in the palm of my hand. I had this person in my grips. I had him dead. He was down and out. And all of a sudden, here come God who picks him back up. There may have been a time when Satan had set a trap for you on the highway and the accident, and all of a sudden you called on the name of God and got out of it, and he say, missed him again. So he notices that there's something special about you. So he pays special attention to you, because he know that there's something that God has a plan for you. So he looked at this right here in Adam and Eve, and so no doubt Eve would go out, you know, trusted in the garden, just this beautiful place, had not a care in the world, speak to all of the animals, and come across Mr. Serpent. Hello, good morning, Mr. Serpent, how you doing? No doubt the serpent and Eve had plenty of conversations. There was no problem with it. He was the serpent. They had dominion over the animals. Adam did. Had dominion over the animals. But one day, here come this devil, this serpent, Lucifer, all of a sudden entered into the heart of that serpent and began to influence that serpent to do his will. Now this one day, now here come Eve prancing along in the garden again, and she's talking and everything, and get on to her, not knowing that this day she's talking to the incarnated devil. Different man now. He's being influenced by a spirit. Same man. But today, he has a different influence. Now this serpent began to talk to Eve. He began to say things to Eve like, wow, Eve, now I want you to know, haven't you noticed and this, that, and the other, that there's the male giraffe and the female giraffe, and then there's a baby giraffe, male monkey, female monkey, baby monkey, male dog, female baby. Say, well, what's wrong with you? Well, I don't know. And he began to convince Eve. He said, well, why don't you take of this tree? Now we know that we're not talking about a literal fruit. We know we're not talking about a literal fruit. Say, well, what's different about you? Say, well, he began to tell we, thou shalt not surely die, but thou will be wise beyond measure. And what happened? Eve began to assimilate. She began to assimilate. Eve went and they sat there and had Bible study. Because, let me put it to you this way. The devil came against the message of the hour. He didn't come to Eve and say, Eve, it's going to rain. You don't have to get on that ark. No, it wasn't time for that yet. They had one word, don't eat of this tree. He came to her attacking what? The message of the hour. To tell her that this is not true, when it was the truth. Now, instead of her going back to Adam, She began to reason within herself and assimilate to what this spirit was saying to her. And she went back. One say she took on a preaching spirit. She went back and preached to Adam. Adam knew she was wrong. What? Where you get this foolishness from? What? Known that she had done messed up. But Adam willfully took on the sin to save Eve. Willfully. He wasn't deceived, but Eve had assimilated, took on the similarities, took on the likeness of this influence that was talking to her and caused the whole world to go into a sinful nature. Prophet said it like this: every time you see an ambulance, every time you see a hearse, you blame that on Eve. You can blame that on Eve. But on the other hand, you know, we still living in a glorious time because we still have a God that sits high and look low. And there is a plan of redemption, a plan of reconciliation. Now we move on. I like to just lay on a platform there showing that there are two spirits on the earth. And they're the two spirits, and see, we here in the middle, and we're gonna assimilate to one or the other. Take on the likeness of one or the other. And how do we take on that likeness? We'll see here, it's by faith, it's by election, it's by the word of God. Let's look at something here. Let's turn to Numbers, the 13th chapter. And we're going to look at another soldier. Amen. And we're going to bring out some things on this soldier here that I tell you what, just really blessed my soul. Amen. Numbers, the 13th chapter. And we're going to start from the 25th verse. And I won't be before you long. We're just going to speed right through this and drop these little nuggets off and give you something to think about. Amen. And it reads on this wise. It says, let's see here. Let's start from the first verse. I'm sorry. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers. Shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them? Okay. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Now, I'm not going to just read all of them, but I want to pay close attention to the sixth verse. And says, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Forgive my pronunciation if it's not correct. Now we're going to go on over here to the 25th verse. And it says, and they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. They brought back evidence. They brought back the grapes that were so big it took two men to carry them. Imagine that. My. And he said, nevertheless, the people, be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and every great and moreover, we saw the children of the Anak and the children of the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses. And he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. Now, let me stop right there and quickly give a quick background. We see now that we're up to this point here, and Abraham had left the city, and God told Abraham that he was going to give him, they were going to have a child, that they were going to have a promised child. Sarah and the name, they will be a blessed people, okay? And they go on, and they have this child, and the God of Abraham, and then have Isaac, and then Isaac begot Jacob, and then Jacob, the 12 brother, his 12 sons, and the brothers, and Joseph, and then Joseph went into the Egypt, and then they became slaves. Am I right? That's in a nutshell, okay? So there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph, and they became slaves down in Egypt. And they was down there in slavery for, what, some 400 years. Amen. Slave to the taskmasters. Some 400 years they was down there under bondage. Under bondage of Egyptian rule. When they had a place that God had given them as an inheritance, and this place was right here where all of these giants was. But see, they couldn't leave or nothing like that because they were being held in bondage. Now that bondage could have been many things. That bondage as today could be a sinful life and it just won't let you go. It could be a denominational experience. You just not have come to the knowledge of the truth as of yet. Amen. But these people, amen, being God's chosen people, amen, remembered that they prayed to a God that they could not see. And Moses came along, born and raised in the house of Pharaoh to be the deliverer. And he had to go through certain things and had to leave and go to the house of Jethro. And he met with the pillar of fire, came back to deliver the people. Now he delivered the people. Now I want to stop here and I want to bring out that there's three stages of grace. Three stages of grace. Now, and this types perfectly with what we was reading there in Hebrews. They asked a question, I mean, why be it that we need another other than the tribe of Levi? Why we need another one like unto Melchizedek? Because see, the tribe of Levi, out of that came the law. Okay, Moses had delivered them out and taken them to the mountain, and with the finger of God had wrote the Ten Commandments. And he gave it to Aaron, the priesthood, to divide up and say that the Levitical priesthood was supposed to be those that handle the ark, handle the law. Amen. But here was one coming that would not do away with the law. Thank you, my brother. But his brought grace. The three stages of grace. Amen. They came here, amen, to this point, and Moses delivered them, amen, out of their bondage. That was the first stage. Took them across the wilderness. They came to a place at the Red Sea, where there's a sea in front of them, and Pharaoh's army coming behind them to surely destroy them. And God delivered them by opening the Red Sea and walking out on dry land. And they began, as they got across the side, they seen all of their troubles drown in the Red Sea. Now at that point, Miriam took a tambourine and began to shout and praise God. Glory, we free, glory. We've seen, that's just like you confess your sins. Lord, you come, the word came and pricked my heart. I turn my back on the devil and I walk out. I walk out. But I go to a place of the Red Sea and I get to a place where I have to become different. Sanctification. I have to know that there's no weight, there's no pullback. My old friends and the things that I'm used to, see, because over my life I had assimilated. I had assimilated into what the devil wanted me to be. I had assimilated into the likeness of Satan. I had not knowing, but I had grew up in, around the inhabitants, and I seen this, and I was taught this. What was it? I assimilated, but now God had came to me, pricked my heart by the preaching of the gospel, and I turned from my wicked ways. I had begun to change my life, becoming assimilated. Now I'm looking at something else. I'm not looking at the world anymore. My focus and my attention is on God. And I begin, as long as I keep my eyes on him, long as I feed it, I begin to assimilate from what I was to what he wants me to be. So I come to one stage. And they came and you see, I don't even have a desire to smoke. Well, at one point, I desired to go to the club every Friday night, Saturday night. Hang out on the corner with the boy. Drink a 40. I had a desire every time I get off, I got to stop by the store and get me a beer and go home. But all of those desires have fallen away. Don't even desire them no more. Well, what is it? Those things being drowned in the Red Sea. So you begin to come to church and you realize that something's happening. So you begin to glory to God. Pray. Thank you, Jesus. But you can't stay right there. They didn't stay right there. They didn't set up camp on the other side of the sea. We will stay here. No, they had a land that they were promised. That land, that place, types the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But they had to travel. They had to continue to eat. They had to continue to be faithful. They had to continue to be loyal. And they had to continue to press into it. Now, here we are. They come to that land, right up to the Jordan, where they had to go through the Jordan. Jordan type. Death. Had to die out their old ways, their thinking, take on the mind of God, go over and possess their inheritance, that land that flowed with milk and honey. So they go over, they send these spies, Caleb, Joshua, and 10 others. They go over. Caleb and Joshua come back. Oh, it's a good land. Oh, Caleb, let us go over at once. Now the Bible tells us that other team came back with an evil report. Was it true? Yep. But it was evil. why they didn't see what Caleb and Joshua saw. They so big. Oh, we can't do it. They began to murmur and complain. Oh, we'd rather go back to Egypt and eat the garlic. What? I said, oh, he done for you. You still have no faith that God, the same God that delivered you out of the bondage of Egypt, would deliver you and give you the land? Only two had the faith. So those other 10 came back and did what? They began to preach against the message of the hour. Because now the message of the hour was cross Jordan and take our land. And they began to spread them lies and folly, spreading fear. We're not able to do it. They got walls and they stand 7 feet tall. And you got the Amalekites and the Hittites and all of these ones. We didn't come this far to die. They had no faith. They had assimilated. Assimilated. How? By fear. By fear. Now, I want to bring out Caleb. Amen, if I may. Amen. Caleb stilled the people, rose and said, we are more than able, amen, to take the land. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into the land to fall by the sword, and our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? You got to be kidding me. To return to the bondage. Now you just got through shouting because you seen all. Now you trying to go back. Lord Jesus, if you don't see that today, fear, it's too hard. I have to give up too much. I can't overcome. I can't overcome. I can't be this perfect image that everybody want me to be. Oh, it's easier to just go to this church where they don't preach against my sin. Go over here where they don't put no pressure on me. These people over here, they too hard. No, you have an inheritance that God has given you. Don't settle for the devil's lie that you can't take it. That's fear. Amen. You're more than able. You're more than able. And wherefore, the Lord brought us into the land and fall by the sword, okay, and said one to another. Now listen, and they said one to another, let us make us a captain and let us return to Egypt. Now they're raising up little ministers, little preachers. Raising up little preachers. And they preaching, let us go back to Egypt. That's their message. Lord, have mercy. Do you see it today? Same thing. Moses and Aaron fell on their face before the assembly, the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them and searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all of the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it, it is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Now see, now they got the, we got this, Caleb and Joshua is preaching. And no, they, now we got the, no, brother, no, that's not right. He'll give it to us. Where's your faith? Amen, amen. Let's go to, Joshua 14. Joshua 14. Amen. I'm going to wind this up. Amen. And these are the countries, amen, which children of Israel inherited in the land. I want to make sure I didn't skip it. Hold on. Amen. Yeah. And these are the countries which he gave to Canaan and the heads of the fathers of the tribes, the children of Israel, distributing for an inheritance to them. By lot was inherited as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses for the 9 tribes and a half. For Moses had given an inheritance of 2 tribes and a half tribe on the other side of Jordan. Hold on. Thank you. Levites and gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were 2 tribes, and Manasseh and Ephraim, and therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in the suburbs and their cattle. And the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did. They divided the land, and the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Juniper, the Kenizzite, said unto them, thou knowest the thing that the Lord has said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again that it will a word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord have kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake these words unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85 years old. And yet I am strong this day as I was in the day of Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Wherefore the Lord spake in that day, for thou hardens in the day of how the Anakites were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. And if so be the Lord will be with me, then I will be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. Now, I would love to just bring to your attention, Caleb was a Kenizzite, not a Jew. Caleb was a Gentile. But because he wholly followed the Lord, he received an inheritance of the land that God had promised to the Jews. He received an inheritance. Now, he received Hebron. We'll get into it. I'm sitting here a little further down. Hebron became a city of refuge. Hebron became one of the greatest cities in the Bible. We see that it talks about there, and we won't read it all, but through marriage in Egypt, his mother and father, I think it was his father, was a Kenizzite, and his mother was a Jew, and married, and they had Caleb. So we see that it was through a marriage that he was assimilated into the Jewish culture, amen. And through his faith, amen, he was given an inheritance. Do you see the type? We a Gentile bride through a marriage, through a relationship with God himself, through a relationship of marriage, we're being married, that we will receive an inheritance. Not because of who we are, not because of some great thing we did, because of who we're married to. Will receive an inheritance, a reward. Amen. We see here that Caleb, being a Gentile, was given land in the tribe of not Judah. The children of Judah, yes, I'm sorry, it was Judah. The tribe of Judah. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto him that knoweth the thing of the Lord. Amen. It was Judah. Amen. Was given land through the tribe of Judah, so he was assimilated. Amen. And that's what we're doing. That's what's happening to us today. We had a prophet, our Eliezer, amen, to come and introduce us to Christ, amen. And you may wonder, well, what do you mean introduce us to Christ? He introduced us to the revealed word of God. Because before, all you could do is presume and put little things together. It was eaten from manna from a day gone by. But now we're eating fresh manna. Just like I said, when the devil is always going to come against what? The fresh manna. He's going to come against the message of the hour. He's not fighting the Catholic Church. He's not fighting, I would say, Baptists. He ain't no fight there. He got them. I'm sorry to say, but yeah. Now, I'm not saying that there's some good people that just haven't come to the knowledge of the truth yet. just have not come to the knowledge of the truth yet. And we're praying for them. There are some eagles among chickens. There's some eagles amongst those chickens. Amen. So we keep them lifted up in prayer. And we continue to be salty. We continue to live a life before our brethren. Amen. Because it's not that we wish that none be lost. But we know by this, there was only two that had the revelation, that had the faith to move forward. Amen. Let's go to, amen. We ain't gonna let the devil cheat you. The 13th. I'm sorry. 15th chapter, the 13th. Man, I wrote it down for a reason. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Abra, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence three sons of Anak and Shishai and Ahaman and Talamiah, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sefer. And Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it to him will I give and my daughter to wife." So basically, Caleb was saying, whoever go up with me to take this land, I give my daughter to wife. Amen. Let's go to, can you pull up that Israel and the church? 53:328, paragraph 73. I'm going to read a few things from there and then we'll be done. Amen. Just to show, amen, that... if we read there, and remember, we're talking about similitude, and in Hebrews, talked about why we needed one like Melchizedek from the tribe of Judah and not the Levites. Amen. Now the Levites, they kept the law. But see, when Christ came, he brought grace. But we understand those three stages of grace. The Old Testament is a shadow and a type of the new. We can't come out of bondage, can't come out, amen, and just stop halfway. We gotta go all the way. Now, if I don't press nothing, if you don't get nothing, you understand that you're gonna have to fight. It's gonna be a press over into that land that's flowing with milk and honey, and that land that flows is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Say whereby we are sealed unto the day of our redemption. The prophet of God gave that story about how we have the boxcar, and they pack this box car and everything in there, and everything has to be tight, everything has to be just right. And once everything is just right, you got those inspectors. The Holy Ghost is the inspector. He comes through and he's shaking this and shaking that. If it's not just right, it won't make the ride. It'll get to its destination and something will be broken. Something will be messed up because the ride is rough. Things are going to happen. But when everything is packed just right, that door is shut. And then there's a seal put on that door. And that seal cannot be broken. That seal cannot be broken. So we continue. Like it's like Jeremiah. He said, I go down to the potter's house and I'll show you a great work. And he goes down to the potter's house and he's on the wheel and the potter, he's on the wheel and is spinning and he's making this vase and if there's a flaw in that vase, he don't just add mud, he breaks the whole thing down and build it up again. So if there's something in our life that's just not quite right, Lord, break me down and build me up again. Break me all the way down and build me up again. Amen. To where, amen, my vase or my vessel will hold the oil, will be able to hold the holy oil, that I'll be presented before you without a spot or a wrinkle. Amen. Can we find it? Thank you. Amen. Now I'm going to read, let's say start from, I think, 73. They come to the place called Kadesh Barnea. Now, we want to study this a moment. Kadesh Barnea was the judgment seat of the world in that day. And you're moving fast. I should have had my room in that. Okay, the seat for that day that's found, 13th chapter of Numbers, and go to Mark in the Scriptures if you wish. Read previous chapters, studying. We just have to hit the high places now in there. Or move up because I'm reading off your screen here. For 4 days, places, revival like this, can't study it verse by verse. But it was judgment seat. There was a great whale there, had many little whales out of it from it, the tributaries or the springs from the great huge spring Kadesh Barnea. Perfect type of the church. The church is the judgment seat. Church begins. The judgment begins at the house of God. Okay. Israel gathered around Kadesh. And now Moses said here in the first verse, 13th chapter, and unto the Lord spake Moses, saying, send me thou men to search the land. Go ahead. I read all that. Can you move up? Now God ordained that they should send 12 men over, one out of each tribe, sending them over into the land of Canaan to spy out the land, to see whether it was good place or not. These spies, come back down. Okay, these spies went forth out of every tribe, one out of Dan and Asher, although until they got to the 12 men. Perfect of the day, of the church today in our journey, and we're journeying up till I believe that the church is standing today at Kadesh Barnea, judgment. Now God help me, the church, now God help me. I hope God will help me get this. It'll sink in good and deep. Send out exploits. Remember, they had come this far because God had promised them. And all among the line, they had signs and wonders and miracles, and now they were right up to the borderland. And I believe we're on that borderland tonight. I was wondering about all my meetings and things, how I had to cancel them out. I truly believe before the church can have the rapture, it's got to have rapturing faith. We can't even have faith for divine healing, let alone rapturing faith. Got to have faith that'll change and quicken this body and be taken away. I believe there's a church on its road tonight. a power of the living God that men will speak the word here and there, and it'll flash like lightning. And a church is coming out, not a psychologist, not some put on make belief, but a real, true, genuine, anointed, Holy Ghost called out church. Amen. Here they are standing at Kadesh Barnea. They said, go over the land give to us hundreds of years ago by God through our father. We are the seed of Abraham. God has led us safely this 40 some odd miles from Egypt up to the borderland at Kadesh. They had got up there in a few days, but remember, because of their unbelief, made them wander for 40 years. Unbelief, notice, the church I'm speaking of, parabolic speaking, what the old was. The new is in the more magnified way. What what the natural was, the spiritual is. Now, Kadesh, and there he said, now you go out and spy out. God sent them. Moses never. God sent them over and said, go over and spy out the land and come back and tell us whether it is good land or a bad land, or whether we can take it, or what this is. What this, that, or the other. You go over and find out. And 12 went over. You know about the harlot Rahab and so forth. All right. Now, we're getting into that. The harlot Rahab. They went over and cut this cluster of grapes and returned back. But listen, at the report, the 12 men and 10 out of the 12 said, oh, they are a fearful people. Look over here. What a sight. Listen to this when we turn over now to the 17th verse and the 27th verse, he says, and tell their men that was sent out. And when they returned back, their hearts were fainting. They said, oh, they're great men. Listen, their hearts were fainting. Read up. I think we read that. Go up. Yeah, find a good stopping point. Okay, keep going. Stop. And brought up an evil report in the land, which they had searched out for the children of Israel, saying that the land which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. All the people that we saw in it are men great stature. Listen to what goes on. Say we look like grasshoppers upside them. That's the report. But Caleb and Joshua said, we can take it. We are more than able to do it. Why are they able to do it? God had promised them to do it. He says, I like that courage. Continue on. And 10 of them now, the church came, and it's now to a place where come down through the Luther age and the Methodist age and the Pentecostal age and down to a place where now some of the full gospel people turn firmly against divine healing, the atonement, where we got to go place friends where you it's getting horrible out there. Old time religion, they say it's sometime that passed long ago. Can't have it. It's too much. We're living in modern day and got to get modern ideas. We got to have shuffleboards in the church, ping pong games and everything to hold our young people. Continue. I'm about there. Brother and sister, if it ever gets to a time that I have to have a card party in the church to hold the audience, I'll quit preaching the gospel because it's lost its power. I tell you, brother, what we need today is an old-fashioned, simple gospel, Holy Ghost power preached in its simplicity. Then if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing. Amen. Amen. Let us stand. Amen. Musicians, come. Amen. I know that was pretty broke up, but I hope was able to, display it the way I felt it and the way it came to me. We're living in a time where the history is basically repeating itself. We're living in a real precious time. The prophet said that he believed that we're at that point tonight, right there at Kadesh Barnea. The last couple of Bible studies I had been noticing, and even prior to that, where there is an emphasis on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Say, well, we can come out and we can repeat the sinner's prayer. And that's great. That means we're on the journey. We can go through the Red Sea where we're cleansed and our desires and things fall behind us. We see those old temptations begin to die and we can feel the anointing and we can shout and we can have a good time. We're not quite there yet. But we must press on. We must press on all the way into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if there's anything in that boxcar, as the inspector, the Holy Spirit, and show it in our lives, amen. Like that potter on the wheel, break me down and just make me over again. As we come too far, he promised us as a Gentile, we see Caleb had that faith that we are more than able. He didn't let fear get in his way. He didn't let the doubters. He didn't let what was going on around him, what were people were saying around him. His heart, we read there in the Bible, he said he came back and he confessed his heart. It was in his heart to do right. Amen. It was in his heart to do right. So if you feel a tug in your heart, amen, and your greatest desire is to serve God with all that you know. Amen. And we just ask him because he's going to have to do it. Amen. We can't do it on our own. Amen. But we just continue to stay before the Lord and can continue to pray. Amen. And just, Lord, continue to make me over again. Anything, if there's anything in me that's not right, Lord, show it to me. I make it right. Just continue to show me. And make me over again. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious God, Lord, I come before you, O Father, this evening, this little broken thought, Lord God. I just pray and trust, Lord God, that, Lord, your people were fed, O Lord God, and hearts were stirred. Lord God, that we must go all the way, O Father. What a shame, O Lord God, to go through so much and come out, and, Lord, to just go halfway. You know, there's an old song, Lord, that says, 99 and a half won't do. Lord, we have to make 100. But we see, Lord God, we're there's such a great, especially in this day, that the enemy is fighting a great fight. And we are the targets because we see that you, Lord God, have taken a special interest in
your people. And no doubt, Lord, the devil sits back and he watched. He did it to Job. He said, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil answered, he has, but you have a hedge about him. Say, I'll remove the hedge. We say, but the soul, you can't touch his soul. Lord God, we just thank you, Father, for calling us, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for impressing upon our heart, oh Father God. We love you, Lord. May we serve you, Lord God, with all that we know and everything that's within us, Lord God. May we lay aside every sin and weight that so easily beset us, Lord. We pray for those, Lord, that are of us, Lord God, and we haven't seen them in service in a while. We know that Satan is slick. He's a slick one. If he can divide you and bring the fold, you get weak and you get weak, and he begin to play with your mind and concepts and little things that begin that he place in your heart. He's a liar and the father of lies. Lord God, we ask you, Lord God, to just bless, Lord God, our pastor, Lord God, and the saints, Lord, that are traveling abroad, Lord God, bring them back safely, oh Father. Lord God, and just be with us, Lord, as we prepare to leave this place, Lord God, but not from your presence. Bring us back again on Sunday, oh Lord God, ready to receive more from you. Words, oh Father God, that were spoken from these lips of clay, oh Father God, penetrate, Lord God, through the souls of the individuals, oh Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Taking off from brother. Amen. I'm sorry. I'm finna go. Thinking Solomon was gonna come up or something. church this Friday. And remember the potluck on June 24th after service. Amen. Ephesians Tabernacle at the Bequia Church building project, CDs with original songs, $20. Ephesians Tabernacle. That's the church where they're raising a building fund. Amen. And the pastor asked that everyone at least donate, you know, buy some, just get one to donate the money for that project there. Amen. And the upcoming meetings, amen. Remember this weekend, Brother Smiley, June 15th and 16th at 7:30. June 17th at 10:30. Amen. I think that's going to be Brother Burley and Brother Jewel Forney. Amen. What a blessing that's going to be. If you can make that, that'll be real nice. Real precious brothers there. Amen. The combination service, June 24th at 6:30 at Boynton Beach. Brother Wesco's meetings. Concert Wednesday, July 11th. Services from July 12th through the 15th. The picnic Saturday, July 14th at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You must register online. See Sister Tina or Sister Erica.